Thank you for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're speaking tonight to Dato' Sri Shafie Abdal, the Chief Minister of Sabah, about the territory's fight against the COVID pandemic. Now, Dato' Sri, can I get your thoughts on the distribution of aid? You touched on it just now, just before the break. Has there been challenges in the distribution of aid that is specific to Sabah? Because the stimulus package was designed with the assumption of access, the assumption of infrastructure. Has Sabah faced challenges in distributing aid?
You're talking about stimulus package done by the state government or federal government. I must say that federal government, well, I have to really know the stimulus package, which particular portion, for example, like the food, you know, items, it goes to which particular outfit that they have used to disseminate food. While at that level, we have our own outfits. For example, like I've designed where it is involved not only the police, the regular people, at the same time, we have this special unit. We call it UPPM, Unit Pimpinan Masyarakat. There are about 3,000 of them. And basket of goods, you know, food items, rice, all sorts of things, the normal kind of requirement. And we have reached more than 340,000 households in the state. And that was done by our stimulus, the COVID package done by the state government. But federal, I'm not so sure. And this is the sort of questions that we need to know, because we don't want to have duplications, you see, where, you know, whether who, because if it is based on EKC list, the recipient, of course, we are using that too. But one of the obstacles and challenges that we have when using that data coming from EKC and also LHDN, using all the data coming from income tax, you can imagine those people in a rural area, they don't have companies and there's no outfit there. There's no bank at all. So how do you know that these people are, you know, hardcore poor or poor? We are here to save humans' life, Malaysians. And we are here to help them to ensure that they have access supply to ample food security there. Because otherwise, we ask them to lock down, stay at home most of the time. If we don't allow them to go and buy food items, how can they survive? They must have access to food as well, not only medication.
Das Sri, when it comes to the question of an exit strategy, the Director General of Health has laid out six criteria, including border controls. And we know that Sabah has many challenges when it comes to the question of the border. We'd had the Abu Sayyaf issue just a couple of days ago. How are you preparing the to kind of deal with the border issue with the lifting of the MCO?
Well, as a chairman of the Security Council at the state level, I've already informed them much earlier with regard to how best we can manage it. For example, like those public groups, they are Malaysians coming from Nunukan, our neighboring country, Indonesia. But I told him, I said, they are Malaysians. They, we have to receive them here, but we have to quarantine them. So we have set up a center in each every major district, which is a normal kind of way where these people normally reach to coming back to Sabah or even visiting Sabah, Sendakan, major town like Kawang. That is where the area normally our Indonesian counterpart, Philippine counterpart, the entry point. So I already asked them, beef up, to ensure that give priority. It's very important. Sabahan, we will allow them, but they must be quarantined. You know, they cannot just simply go back to their hometown and mix and mingle around with their family. I think that is ridiculous. So I told them, because whatever it is, if the when we unlock them, we must have the right infrastructure to ensure that rapid testing is done. Sample must be taken. And at the same time, we need to quarantine them, yeah, to ensure that there should not be any contact at all with their sibling, because otherwise, we'll never know. They might be, you know, infected by it, and they can spread out, and they can have contact with people we don't even know, and that is very dangerous for us. So this is some of the move. The border control is tightened up, but at the same time, we must also be mindful that if they are our citizens, we cannot deny shouldn't be coming back to a different kind of route, the illegal route. They call it laluan tikus. So otherwise, if we just we don't micromanage that, they might reach from, for example, like if they're from Sibatik, Kalimantan, they might pass through town of Tandem Pensiangan Sipitang, and we'll never know who did they meet. So this is quite difficult. So that's why we have to really micromanage it, where we allow them, how many numbers coming in, we stagger it to ensure that we have ample facilities or infrastructure to cater and to house them, quarantine and for treatment as well.
Dato' Sri, we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to ask you, you said just now, you know, you talked about prioritizing Malaysians. What about the stateless population? This is a very vulnerable group. Will they have access to healthcare? You know, you talked about testing. Will they have access to that? And will they have access to the education and information that's needed to fight this pandemic?
Well, we have to be mindful that human life is very important. You know, I remember I did mention this when I woke up and I did my morning prayer. When I opened the door, I saw a little cat with a mother and crying for food. And immediately I opened up the sardine tin and feed the cat. They don't have passport, you know. The animals, but they need to survive too. So one can imagine if they're human beings as well. I mean, irrespective whether they are not local, if they're already in Sabah, we have to ensure that ample supply, not only in terms of medication, they have to have access to it, but at the same time, food too. Because we can't allow people to die in our own country just because, oh, they are foreigners. They are stateless kids. But these are the people, it's not their fault. Their parents run away, their mother divorced. But you can't punish human kids at the same time just because of the failure of their parents. I think this is what I have instructed the Minister of Health, the local one, the Sabah Ministry of Health and Kebajikan. I told him, I said, make sure, and I also have directed the presidents of municipalities, Kota Kinabalu, Tawau, to ensure that house them and treat them as well, feed those kids. I think it's important for us to make sure that they will be taken care of. So these are some of the policies. And I know it's very tedious job. That's why if I'm not in my office, I work from my house, home, and until late night, actually, just to ensure that things are in the right place. And the chairman of our director of what we call operation room is chaired by the state secretary. So they normally communicate with me, even in the late night as well, to ensure that they have the right directions. But we have to work closely together to ensure it is job. It's a very complex and very dynamic. We don't want, end of the day, oh, there's a new kind of contact, new kind of virus here. It's a different, it's no longer the public group. So these are the new things that we have to devise, what is the right prescription, what is the right policy for us to ensure that we can contain that.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. Unfortunately, it's all the time we have to speak to you tonight, but thank you for sharing your insights with us. Appreciate your time, Dato' Sri. I'm Melissa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutta. We're signing off for this episode of Consider This, but we will be back same time tomorrow for another one. So make sure you catch us then. Thank you so much for watching and good night. We'll be right back.